Well, if you have a Bible, let me ask you to pull it out right now. Turn to the book of Luke. We're going to be reading from Luke chapter 23. Luke's in the New Testament. Matthew, Mark, Luke. We're going to be reading some verses there from a moment. But I don't know if you feel what I feel is, it's just, I don't know what to do during the days or weeks. I don't know how to make plans as a pastor for our church or as our for our family over the next few weeks. And I guess I just realized none of us have lived through an uncertain time like this. None of us have actually lived through a global pandemic before. And we've all heard the impact that it's made on people's lives. Some of them, it's been a very minimal impact, just minor disruptions to our life. But there's others who've experienced a tremendous pain, whether it's the death of a loved one or loss of a job or loss of potential income. So an obvious question during this time is, can we trust God? And not just can we trust God, will we trust God as His children? If you're like me, trusting God seems very automatic when things are going well. People may ask, Phil, how's it going? And I say, great. Not a problem. I'm finding myself trusting God with all things. But there's other days when if you ask me, how's it going? And honest answer would be, I'm struggling. I'm anxious. I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know about the future. And it's difficult to trust God. How about you? Even in the situation that we're in? Or do you find that it's easy or difficult to walk by faith and trust God? What we're going to talk about that today is, what does it mean to trust God in uncertain situations? And they're going to happen the rest of our life. This coronavirus is going to come and go. But for the rest of us, some of us are in difficult seasons now. Some of us will be in a difficult season in the future. So in all seasons of life, how can we trust God? Our Savior Jesus teaches us from the cross. But let me pray for us, and we're going to jump in and look at this passage. God, I do pray that you would be with those who are in extreme times of disappointment and uncertainty or anger or depression or discouragement. And God, I pray for all of us that because of the words that we look at in your scripture today, we would believe more of you and we would lean in and trust you more. So God, open up the eyes of your heart that we would see wonderful things in your scripture today. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we're completing our sermon series called The Last Words. We're looking at the last words of Jesus from the cross. And we're looking at the seventh and last statement that he makes. So open your Bibles. We're going to look at chapter 23, 44, and 46. It was now about the sixth hour, and there was darkness over the whole land until the ninth hour, while the sun's light failed, and the curtain of the temple was torn in two. Then Jesus, calling out with a loud voice, said, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. And having said this, he breathed his last. Now, these words speak directly to Jesus and what he was saying. It was very unique to him at his death. When he said, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit, he's giving a direct quote from Psalm 31 at that moment. And also, it shows just the uniqueness of committing his spirit to God after death. He also wanted people to know that I commit my spirit, that he did willingly lay down his life for us. But there's also an example that Jesus gives us that he wants us to follow. So what can we learn about trusting God from the words of Jesus? The first one is that we can trust your life to a Father who loves and cares for you. Trust your life to a Father who loves and cares for you. Let's look back again at Luke 23, 46. And Jesus, calling out with a loud voice, said, Father. We're going to take apart each of these words in this phrase. So he begins with starting with the word Father. These are the last words of Jesus. This is how he addresses God. If you think about the very first words of Jesus from the cross, they started with, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." So Jesus began his words from the cross and his last words of the cross with this common understanding of God as Father. Now, he had a unique relationship with God as his Father, but because we are in Christ, we also have the same. We can view God. God views us as his children, and we can view him as our Father. This is what Jesus was trying to teach his disciples. When he said, when you pray, say, "Our Father." He also gave other understandings of God as the Father. I think about the story of the father of the prodigal son and how he embraced and restored the prodigal son who had returned. Jesus talks about the father who longs to give good gifts. So this is how we are to view God also. He is a father. Now, the difficulty rests in that many of us have, well, all of us have had earthly fathers who were flawed. Some of you may have had the best fathers in the world, but they were flawed. Others of us had absent. Others of us had abusive fathers. Others of us had uninterested fathers, angry fathers in our life. And so when we think about God as a father, it really doesn't bring as much comfort as we think it does. But God is not like our earthly father. In fact, God is the perfect father. He's always present. He's strong enough to protect and provide. He's wise enough to make decisions that are good for us. He's patient with us when we're foolish. He loves us no matter whether we're at our best or at our worst. So we have to, as hard as it is to push down and applying an understanding of our earthly father to our heavenly father. J.I. Packer, in his book, Knowing God's, he said these words. He said, "You sum up the whole of New Testament religion if you describe it as the knowledge of God, if you describe it as the knowledge of God as one's holy father. If you want to judge how well a person understands Christianity, find out how much he makes the thought of being God's child and having God as his father." So how well do you, how well do I understand what all of Scripture teaches? We have God as our father. We are God's child. And that's what Jesus teaches us when he says, "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit." Believer, you have God as your father. You are his beloved son. You are his beloved daughter. Start with an affirmation that God is your father. And that will lead to a deeper trust in him. The second thing that we need to believe is that we are to trust our ways, God's ways in the world, to a wise God who governs all things. Back to Luke 23:46. Jesus, calling out with a loud voice, said, "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit." Now, when Scripture uses the words hands, it's talking about God. Now, God doesn't have hands. God's a spirit. This anthropomorphic language, which is just explaining something with human characteristics. That's why we say the mouth of God, the mind of God, the hands of God. God doesn't have those, but it helps us in understanding him. But when the hands of God are mentioned, it always refers to either strength, protection, or provision. And his protection over us is seen in John 10:29. "My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all. No one is able to snatch them out of the Father's hand." And then we also see a special relationship in Isaiah 49. "Even these may forget, yet I will not forget you. Behold, I have engraved you on the palms of my hands. Your walls are continually before me." The image of being engraved on the palms of hand. The image that came to my mind was thinking of people who have tattoos of their kids on their arm that they can look at. In a sense, that's The palms of our hands, that's what we see often, right, visible to us. So the imagery is that on the hands of God is our names, is our identity. But we also see his special relationship and how he governs life in Isaiah 41. He says, "Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand." He's saying, I will hold you up. And what we know of God in the world is he holds all things up. In Christ, in God, all things are held together. This speaks to the sovereignty of God. Now, as Christians, we hear that word a lot in this whole pandemic. Well, God is sovereign, which he is. But when I think of sovereignty, I think of God can control all things, and he does control all things. But it's not just God can, he does. God governs. God works all things. God's not absent. We see this in other verses from the Bible. In Proverbs 16:9, it says, "In his heart a man plans his course, but the Lord determines his steps." We all have felt that. We've planned the course of finishing high school year, going on vacation, making plans, but the Lord determines his steps. The Lord is working through his providence in he's governing the world right now. It also says the lot, talking about kind of a gambling dice is the best way to think about it. It says the lot is cast into the lap, but it's every decision is from the Lord. So think about that when you're playing Yahtzee with your kids at home and the dice are being rolled. Every decision is from the Lord. Too often we think about God just being distant and absent. He wound the world up, put it in place, and now he's just stepping back. But no, God is working in all things. God is governing. God is ruling. God is sustaining and working all things in his hands. So that's why trusting God says, I put my plans in your hands. And they will be protected. I will be provided for. You see my life. You see all that's happening. But it's not just believing and trusting the governing of God, but it's also believing him to be wise. That God is wise and he sees every contingency. He sees every potential outcome, and he redirects everything in our life, even the things in our life today, this week, currently. He directs it according to his wisdom, what's best for our life. One author I was reading this week said that wisdom is defined as selecting the best end of action and also the best means to accomplish that end. That's what God does. He sees the best outcome of our life, or even the details of our life, of our months and our weeks, and he determines what is the best means to accomplish that. Only God can do that. Only God has the wisdom in order to do that, and that's what God's doing. God's doing so many things around our life that we don't see, we don't understand. John Piper said it like this. He said, God is always doing 10,000 things in your life, and you may be aware of 3 of them. Can you relate to that? Or that's what I feel. It's like, God, where are you? Why are these things happening? God's saying, I'm doing 10,000 things right now that you don't see, that you don't understand. He says, not only may you see a tiny fraction of what God is doing in your life, the part you do see may make no sense to you. I've been there. I look and go, this doesn't make sense. Why did God allow this? Why did God determine this in my life? But then when I think everything that happens in my life is filtered through the wisdom of God, the love of God, that him is my father, then I begin to trust him. Doesn't mean that I like those circumstances, but I believe that they came from God, my father. And so that leads to a deeper trust in him. Will you do that? Will you believe and trust that God is wise and loving towards you enough, and that everything that is happening in your life, even the things that have happened in our life, have been governed and directed by God. And we can trust them in those moments. But we also can trust our death to God, who grants us eternal life. Back to Luke 23, 46. So we looked at Father, into your hands. And then Jesus says, I commit my spirit. He's not talking about the Holy Spirit there. He's talking about his human spirit, which at that moment of his death is gone to be with God. And then a few days later, it's reunited with his resurrected body. See, this is the confidence. This is the hope that we have as Christians, that we're not worried about death because we can commit our spirit to God. And what the assurance is for Christians is that upon death, our spirit will be with God. That's what the apostle said, Paul says. Said it's better to be apart from the body. And so we don't fear death. We're not fearful that what's going to happen to us after death. We commit our spirit to God. Well, how do we trust God? Let me just leave you with three practical ways that we can trust God. What does it mean to trust God? And I will say that don't wait for the feelings to come. Don't wait for, ooh, I'm finally feeling like I can trust God. It's a decision. It's a choice. And when we make that choice, the feelings a lot of times will come, but sometimes they don't. What does it mean to trust God? First of all, it means to lean not on your own understanding. Look at Proverbs 3. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. That's what it's asking us to do. In your job loss, in your job uncertainty, with your schools being canceled, with your summer plans, with your loved ones who are sick, with the uncertainty of the future in the economy, all those things. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. And do not lean on your own understanding. Who doesn't do that? I do that all the time. I'm trying to read the tea leaves. I'm trying to figure out how to pull myself out of these situations. But he's saying, don't lean on your understanding. Because back to the wisdom of God, my understanding's like this, and God's is infinite. God sees all things. In all your ways, acknowledge him, put him first, and he will make straight your paths. And then it goes on to say these words. Be not wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and turn away from evil. It will be healing to your flesh and refreshment to your bones. What will be? Trusting God. Not relying on your own understanding. Not being wise in your own eyes. This is so difficult for us because every one of us, we're hardwired with self-sufficiency. And we believe we know what's right. We believe we know what's best. And if we don't know, we believe that through enough determination, we can pull ourselves out of the situation. But trusting God says, don't lean on your own understanding. Lean on God. Now, a second way that we can grow in our trusting of God is to remember God's character. So lean not on your own understanding, but remember God's character. Look at Lamentations 3, 21 through 23. But this I call to mind. He said, this I remember. This I tell myself over and over and over. Therefore I have hope. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. These are the things that your kids should be remembering, memorizing while they're at home. For every one of us, three things. The steadfast love of the Lord, it never ceases. It doesn't stop. It never runs out. It is continuous. The second thing, his mercies never come to an end. My patience comes to an end all the time. My mercy towards other people, it comes to an end. But God says, my mercies towards you will never come to an end. In fact, they reboot every morning. They're new every morning. And then the third thing, great is your faithfulness. One thing that'll help us to trust God today is to remember the faithfulness of God in the past. We will grow in our trust as we look back down the paths of our life and remember the faithfulness of God. Charles Spurgeon said these words. He said, God is too good to be unkind. He is too wise to be mistaken. And when we cannot trace his hand, we must trust his heart. God's heart towards you is good and wise and powerful and loving. We can trust his heart. And then the last thing that I think will help us in trust, growing in trusting God, is just to pray. Pray for faith. Pray that we would grow in our faith and understanding. There's a man who came to Jesus and he brought his son who was sick. And he said, Lord, heal my son if you're willing. And Jesus said that whoever has faith, it will happen to him. And the man looked at Jesus and said, I believe. Help my unbelief. And so that's when it comes to trusting God. We can say, God, I trust you, but I'm wavering. Will you help my belief in you? So pray for faith. Pray for trusting in God. So as we can just consider all these uncertain situations in our life, whether it's today with coronavirus, whether it's next year at your work, whether it's 10 years from now with your health, we can trust God. We can trust him as a father. We can commit our lives to him, his strong hands to protect us and provide for us, to trust God. And this is what Jesus gives for us as an example at the cross. So I want to ask you, will you trust him today? Will you choose to trust him? For we can. He's wise. He's powerful. He's our Father. And so I pray, and I want to pray now that we would do that. Let's pray. Father, I do pray that we would grow in our trust of you, that we would grow in our dependence upon you. Forgive us, Lord, that we lean on our own understanding. We lean on our own strength and resources rather than you. So would you come and increase our faith? Father, I do pray for those who are in a deeper season of disappointment right now. Father, grant them to faith. Help them to believe in these truths of who you say you are. And we pray all this in Jesus' name.